The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify His name. First, when the leaders' hearts are stirred, good things happen. People tend to forget that there is no action that we can take to help our nation that is greater than the power of prayer. By our prayers, God can change a leader's heart. Next, resources from God can come from anywhere and from anybody. We often think that God's provisions for us, that they must come through resources we're familiar with. But we need to remember that water came out of a rock when God was involved. And finally, there are times when we need to get specific counsel for a particular issue. We follow the Holy Spirit. We study the Word. We pray. We hear God's voice in matters. But having someone to bounce stuff off of who has a decent biblical understanding has tremendous value, and we should make use of that.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What is your thought process? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, when you make that phone call, you're going to talk to Terrific T. And when you talk to Terrific T, it's just like getting one of those huge checks that they show on television. You know, those ones that are like 6 feet by 3 feet? Yeah, baby. That's right. Lots of zeros in there. That's what it feels like. Here's the bottom line. It can be something that you're working on in your own life. You just want to talk it out. It can be something the Lord's doing in your life and you just want to share. It can be a praise report. It can be a prayer request. We just did a prayer request and prayed for Sam in the last segment. It can be Bible trivia, which I'm going to give to you in about 2 seconds. It can be about any of that, as long as we're seeking to encourage one another and strengthen one another in the Lord, because that is the mission, the goal, the purpose of why we do the show. Is to lift one another up. We know there's tough times. We know there's arguments and disagreements. We know there's fightings. But in the Christian family, there is one father, one blood relative, one blood that we're all relatives of, and we drink of one Holy Spirit. So in that, we're going to find unity no matter what. Okay? All right. Here is the next trivia question, Bible trivia question. In what book of the Bible do we find the story about the sun standing still? What? The sun stood still? Yes. What? The sun stood still? Yes. In what book of the Bible do we find about the story about the sun standing still? Which book of the Bible? You got to tell me which one it is if you think you know. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. In the meantime, let's not forget our website, a very important issue of everything we do. Please go, when you get a chance, to go to hemustincrease.org. Go. website, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Okay, so check it out. At the very top, you'll see something that my daughter wrote. Very touching. I don't know if you've read it or not. It's really good. I think it's helpful for people to understand what real faith sounds like when everything's not roses. Right? It's easy to talk about faith when things are going great. But real faith, tested faith, metal faith, gold faith is when it's not going great and you still believe. That's what great faith is. Great faith is not smiling because you've gotten through it. Great faith is smiling because you know God's going to bring you through it. That's a big difference. All right, are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Shorty.
Hi, Shorty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. All right, this is a classic trivia question. What book of the Bible do we find the story about the sun standing still, taking a break from moving around?
I think it was in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament.
That is correct, sir! That is one prayer that you think about. You think I just don't know how he pulled that off, but he looked up to God and said, okay, we need a 24 hold.
I tell a testimony of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. Yes, you may.
In July, fourth weekend of 2020, my wife was told to call hospice that I was so bad with chronic leukemia that I probably only had a short time, and she said, no, if God's not through with him, I'm not going to give up. And so right after that, they gave me 11 units of hemoglobin and 9 units of platelets, and this leukemia has turned around. And last Wednesday, I went back to this oncologist in Allen, Texas, and he told my wife, he said, looks like he's got 2 real good years and possibly many years after that. And I attribute that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know Texas Oncology helped, but I think it wasn't my time, and I'd like to praise the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for that.
Excellent testimony. Just fantastic, Shorty. First of all, we are blessed that, one, the Lord gave you that grace. That's fantastic. And we rejoice with you. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And then the other part is how awesome to know that your wife, diligent, steadfast in the faith, then you guys moving through the process, but trusting that God's overseeing the whole element. And now there's more time, and usually more time means some other things to do. And it's like, praise the Lord, brother, you got more to do. That's awesome.
That's right. I have a ministry. I'm 77 years old, and I have a ministry with guitar and singing the old-time gospel songs to a rest home in Allen, Texas. I go there twice a month, and the Lord has blessed me so much by going there, and I hope that he's blessed other people for me and my songs and my ministry. And so maybe that means that he wasn't ready for me to leave this earth and go home, but rather being a help to other people also.
Amen. That's exactly right. And God gets the praise and the glory, and that graciousness that he extended you blesses every one of us. How excellent to hear that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful testimony, brother. I am so blessed that you called in and shared that with us, because that gives people hope and confidence and an ability to step one more step up in trusting the Lord.
That's right.
Exactly. That's right. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent. Thank you so much. Don't ever hesitate to call back, and don't ever hesitate to answer any of the trivias, too, or share other things that the Lord's doing in your life. I love it. It was fantastic. Great job.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a great, great testimony. If you didn't hear that, man, you got to hear it. That is just super, 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 super good. Oh, what a blessing that he called in. Okay, we've got about 2.5 minutes left or something along those lines. Let's go ahead and play that little sound clip that you've developed for us to play for the Ezra teaching.
I have saved the best for the last, because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
That's right, not quite. All right, so here's the bottom line. We're in Ezra, and we covered, for those that don't know, we covered quite a bit of territory in our first teaching. Now we're going into our second teaching, and what I want people to know is this book, a little bit different because it's got a listings of a lot of names. We're not going to cover all the names individually. I'll kind of be grouping those, but before we get there, I want you to look at something with me that's in the verse 5 realm. It says this. This is after King Cyrus, moved by God. So a pagan king moved by God to fulfill Jeremiah's prophecy about the restoration of the temple and of the people of God. God did that, moved his heart. Then moving forward, listen to what it says in verse 5. It's just amazing. It says in verse 5, then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. What I want to point out in this, and I only have a minute to do it, is that everybody's freaking out about leadership, and some people seem like they're great, and some people seem like they're lousy. Let me tell you something. If there's a problem in leadership, go to prayer. There is nothing more powerful than praying for God to change the hearts of leaders. And then when God changes their hearts, it's not iffy. It's all the way. It's not wishy-washy. It's not even political. If God directs the heart of the king into a certain place, that's where it goes. You do all the things that you want to do. Do all the things that you can do. But the best thing that you could ever do is pray that God moves upon the hearts and that the leaders in all facets will obey him, seek him, and honor him in all they say and do. I'm going to take our break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, it just does not seem like a Monday. I'm sorry. It just seems like it's a Friday or something. Friday and a Monday. All right, we have our next trivia question. This should not be difficult unless I read this wrong. then it can make it hard. Who wrote that it is not wise to spend too much time at your neighbor's house? Who authored that? It is not wise to spend too much time at your neighbor's house. Straightforward. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can, so that's calling us directly. You can also text 214-210-8483. Again, excellent job by Shorty sharing his testimony. His wonderful testimony. Very, very blessed. I'm sure I'll probably take that at some point and loop it and put it on. That's a good one, right? Okay, now we have, what do we got? Jokes? Do you want to do a joke? Okay. Now, people can get offended at our jokes. Let me say. More than one experience, people have been offended at our jokes. So if this is offensive, I only apologize that you have no sense of humor. That is what my apology is for. Okay. It's just one of those goofy little jokes. It's clean but goofy, so just, you know, hang in there. Three sons left home and went on their own way and prospered. Getting back together, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, "I built a big house for our mother." The second said, "I sent her a Mercedes with a driver." The third smiled and said, "I got you both beat. You remember how Mom really enjoyed reading the Bible? And you know how she can't see very well anymore? Well, I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took elders in the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it." Soon after, Mom sent out her letter of thank yous. "Milton," she wrote one son, "the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house." Gerald, she wrote to another, "I am too old to travel anymore. My eyesight isn't what it used to be. I stay home most of the time. I rarely use the Mercedes, and the driver is so rude." "Dearest Donald," she wrote to her third son, "you had the good sense to know what your mother likes. And the chicken was delicious." And the chicken. Come on, folks. If you can't laugh at that, I just have nothing. I can't say it. Is that pretty funny? "And the chicken was delicious." Come on. All right. I like stuff like that. We're going to do our history and our we're going to do a Hebrew word. I think we're doing a Hebrew word. We are doing a Hebrew word. In the fourth one, history, and the next one, I want to go back to the Ezra teaching. I want to talk about this. It's really important. And I'm going to share something with you that you have maybe not heard before. So be aware of that. Just be kind of connected in this. So I'm going to pick it up on verse 6. Remember, we just talked about the Lord stirring the hearts of the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to return to Jerusalem. Here's the next verse. "And all the neighbors assisted by giving them silver and gold and supplies for the journey and livestock, and they gave them many choice gifts in addition to freewill offerings. King Cyrus himself brought out valuable items, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the Lord's temple temple in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his own gods. So I want you to stop there and recognize that they're moving forward with this project. God has called the children of Israel back. It's a prophecy that's fulfilled by Jeremiah. King Cyrus of Persia, moved by God, said, let's rebuild that temple. Let's get the people of Israel back to that temple. To give you an idea, it's right about 50,000 people that are going back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. That's a lot of people, okay? A lot of people, probably about 42,000 people, and then about 7,300 or 7,400 leaders, all right? And there's two things I want you to get from this, and this is superbly important. God is a merciful and gracious God. He does things for us. I don't even think we know in any real depth how great God is. I don't think we understand this side of glory. I think the other side of glory we might not fully understand. I don't know that yet. God brought for the children of Israel who were trying to do this mission, trying to accomplish this mission that God had stirred the leaders for and God had moved upon the people. He brought resources from unique places. You wouldn't expect a pagan king to be somebody that contributes a lot of money to a cause for God. Yet, ironically, Cyrus gave 46% of the entire donations out of his own kingship. You wouldn't expect God to bring about something in your life from unused sources or unknown sources. It's not something that we anticipate because what we think is we have certain sources of revenue, like our work, and we get a work check, or whether it's a some kind of dividend check or a check from the government. We have certain things that we know we get, and we kind of think that that's the only place resources can come. I'm telling you right now that is 1,000,000,000% wrong. I can't give you a lower number. 1,000,000,000% wrong. The Lord does things that we know nothing of and provides through ways we would not even imagine because he can and he loves us. He doesn't sit there and go, well, I was going to give you this, but it's not through your approved method of receiving for me, so I don't think I'll give it to you. That's not how it works. Our faith has to expand to believe that God, who is fantastic, gives in fantastic ways. So I've shared this story before. I'll share it again all my life until I'm done on this journey. I'd mentioned to you guys before, I was in Flagstaff. Christmas was a very, let's say, no Christmas presents for the kids. That's the nicest way to put it. How many? Zero for my three children under seven. Okay? Right? Tough time, right? I went in the bottom bedroom area and I just prayed and I just said, Lord, I don't have any money to do anything for the kids. I just can't do anything about it. But I'll do my best to serve you and who knows? That's all you can do. At some point, you believe, and then your faith maybe gets a little shaky. I think my faith was a little shaky. I went out to the mailbox within an hour of that prayer. I went out to the mailbox, and I got the mail, and there was all this mail, and there's typical bills. Every time you go out to the mailbox, you're just thinking, let it not be that bad. that's what I do. I don't know what anybody else does. And so there's a letter there from England. Guess who I know in England? Nobody. I don't know anybody in England. I went there when I was in second grade. I didn't strike up any friendships. Let me tell you, I was in second grade. I was babysat about 85% of the time. I mean, come on. A couple, actually, I think it was three people, but at least a couple had gone to the church that I was pastoring, and they had visited, and they really liked how we approached the church. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. I didn't even know. I was so bad, I didn't capture their name. I didn't do stuff like I was supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to, you get visitors of the church, you're supposed to get their names, then you do a follow-up call. I didn't do any of that stuff. They sent a check and said, we've come back to England and planted a couple of churches using that similar style. We all took up a collection offering, and we've sent this to you and your family. We would like you to use this for your personal use for Christmas. I was like, what? Didn't I just pray, oh Lord, help me? And here's a letter from England, which was sent before I prayed. By the way, before you call, he will answer. and we had money for the kids. And we did give some of it away. I mean, we were just because we were kind of wired that way. But God had a revenue source that I didn't even know about. I'll probably never see those people. But the Lord knew. And he took care of it. You think, well, that's just, you just don't, the coincidence like that, that just doesn't happen that way. It's not how it happens. And you think, well, how'd they get their address? Back then, you weren't afraid to put your address on the bulletin. I mean, it was like normal stuff, like when it was regular stuff, right? You didn't have to freak out. Now it's, everybody's got to be careful. My point in that is that I would, the church didn't have the money. The people at the church didn't have the money. We were a poor group, small group. And God used these people that I didn't even know were visiting from England, and they took up an offering, and boom. And that supplied the need from a resource I did not anticipate. I don't tell you that story to say, wow, you're so favored. Let me tell you something. The only reason I'm favored is because I believe in Jesus, and as far as I understand everything scripturally, I'm not going to hell because I have grabbed the branch. Okay? That's my favor. Everything else, not that much. Let me just say real quickly. But you know when the Lord does something cool and it changes your life. And it makes you think, man, God is bigger than I'm thinking he is. Hey, guess what? Your God is bigger than your approved revenue sources. How about believing that? That's a good thing, right? God is bigger. He hears you. He knows. Okay? All right. All right, in regards to the trivia, wait till we get to this next section. You're going to – in Ezra. I just love this stuff. In regards to the trivia, who told us it's not wise to spend too much time in your neighbor's house, which practicality, that's just a fact. It's not a brilliant idea to spend way too much time at your neighbor's house. That comes from Proverbs 25:17. So Solomon was the one who told us, don't spend that much time at your neighbor's house. You don't want them to, like, dislike you, right? Right. That makes sense. All right. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. We've got much, 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 much more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day. Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked the cartoon. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he's skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird – do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Amazing grace, how sweet. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to tell you before we do the trivia. I do need people to be praying for Noel, so let me just give you an update. So this is going to be ongoing for 2 weeks. I'm just telling you why so everybody can know what's going on. So where she works, they dropped in this new it's not just a new program, but they increased her output by about 185% in between Easter, prom, and Mother's Day. So the three big holidays for flowers are Easter, prom, and Mother's Day. So they dropped in a system untested, unproven. Oh. So my wife is going through one of the biggest challenges she's had to go through at work, and I'm not praying for her to escape the trial. And I told her, I said, you got to remember you work for God first, but she can use prayer just to have either support or have a peace of mind, okay? I mean, I want to pray for her. I mean, I'm just asking you all as an audience to keep her in prayer because as she goes, so I go in many ways. Just remember that, okay? All right, that's good. All right, ready for the next one? You doing good? You have a nice weekend, by the way? Was it decent?
I did. It was really relaxing.
Oh, nice. Good. Very glad to hear that. I need to have a weekend where I just get to do like 3D movies. I just have to have one coming up. There just has to be something. I had to work on my paper. I've been in school for 900 years. Yeah, I have no comment. Okay, here's a multiple choice trivia question. Okay. Where, now there's five possible answers. Where did Job live? Okay. Puz, buzz, uz, luz, or zuz? So you know it ends with a Z, right? This comes out of Job chapter 1, verse 1. Puz, buzz, uz, luz, or zuz? A, B, C, D, or E? And if you're not sure, you can call and I'll tell them to you again on the air and then you can choose. Multiple choice. Where did Job live? Which one of those places? Is that? Joy stepped in right away. She got it. Puz, buzz, uz, luz, or zuz? That's right. One of those five. That's where Job lived, in the land of one of those. Let's see. That's our trivia question. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do history. So let's do our history. Yeah, let's do that now. Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past. All right, here we go. Today is National Help a Horse Day. Okay, like that? Okay, like horses? You ever gone horseback riding?
Yeah. Not horseback riding, but I rode a pony.
Okay, all right. Got to go horseback riding. I went to an island one place, and we did horseback riding. Unfortunately, my horse saw Billy the Kid or something where he just – Billy the Bronco. That was it because he kept trying to throw me off. So that was a little bit of a challenge. It's also National Pretzel Day. Come on now.
Pretzels are good.
Pretzels are good. So I like the soft pretzel. I like when they have those pretzel wetzels kind of thingy, or I like hard pretzels, and I really like you ever have the pretzel that has like the mustard in it, or the pretzels that have like different flavors on the inside, like the hard ones at the store. Oh, those are really good. The mustard, like the biting mustard, is like really good. It's like, wow, it's a great snack. Okay, I like those. Today is also the anniversary of the Richter scale. So let me just give this a little explanation, then we'll go from there. It measures the amount of energy released by an earthquake by measuring the magnitude or seismic waves produced by an earthquake. Scale goes from 0 to 9,
on the scale, each increase in number represents 10 times more powerful. So 1 would be 10 times, 2 would be 20 times, 3 would be 30 times, and so on. 4.5 earthquake can damage buildings and structures. A 7 on the Richter scale can create severe and catastrophic damage. So I'm just letting people know so you can be aware of that. The other thing that you might find interesting, on this day in 1901, license plates. New York became the first United States state to require automobile license plates. They still got a traffic problem, don't they? It doesn't seem like that helped at all. And then 1962, NASA's Ranger 4 spacecraft crashed into the moon. Now, I don't know if that was on purpose. I assume it was, because you would just think it's going to the moon. Turn. No, turn to the left. No, the other left. Right? Okay. That's just crazy. Job. The question is, where did Job live? Puz, buzz, uz, luz, or zuz? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us and let us know. In the meantime, let's get back to the text. I'm going to share something with you that is completely not supposed to share this. Okay? All right. Fair enough. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 11. Now, keep in mind, you got like 43,000 people that are going to be returning. There's about 7,337 servants and singers and men and all. It's about 50,000 people in all that are returning. It's a good way to think of it. Before that takes place, this is what it says in Ezra chapter 1, verse 11. In all, 5,400 gold and silver items were turned over to Sheshbazzar. Let me say it right. S-H-E-S-H. Sheshbazzar. Sheshbazzar. That's it. Sheshbazzar. Almost like Chef Bazaar, but Sheshbazzar. Okay? To take back to Jerusalem when the exiles return there from Babylon. So Sheshbazzar is a very interesting character in the Bible. Do you want to know who Sheshbazzar is? So do I. Let me explain that to you real quickly. When you come across something in Scripture, there are times where you just absolutely know who's being talked about and what's being talked about. I mean, there's not a lot of question when we're talking about Moses. There's not a lot of question about when we're talking about Joshua, who led after Moses. Certain people don't require a lot of deep, complex review. But other people are mentioned in the Bible that there's very little known about. So this is for those that are like, when you read, come across a name, I'm not talking about like Zerubbabel, who will be the one that actually, you know, helps coordinate in this book of Ezra. You're going to find as a coordinator, plus Joshua the priest, who's a coordinator, right? You're going to find out that later, not the same Joshua from Mo. But here, this person, Sheshbazzar, is for some reason given all of the utensils to bring and to give an accountability of all of the values on this trip that all these people are taking to go to Jerusalem. Why I bring that up is simple. Because Sheshbazzar, if you study, you're going to find no less than 6 different interpretations of who this person is. They said, well, his name has 4 potential meanings, right? So that's not going to work. And every group has something that they tell you that Sheshbazzar is, they think. The reason that I'm bringing that up is for you to understand that some things in Scripture are just straightforward. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It's not that part's not overly complex. And that faith does have to have some look to it. I mean, it has to be an active faith, not a fake faith. But when you get into people like Sheshbazzar, we don't know. And so what people do is they construct from what they can what this guy was. He was some person of authority, probably a governor, most commentators will say. But they don't know for sure, but probably some kind of junior governor who was kind of in charge, taking control of things. Why I bring that up and why I brought this whole thing up is because when you come across something in Scripture, study it. Look at it. Read some commentaries on it. There's about 5,000 commentaries free online. You can always go to Got Questions. It's a great website for that. You can always go to, you know, Blue Bible. You can go to, you know, all these different Bible study elements that are online. You can read the different translations, different things that people think this are. You get to study it. And then you'll have 5 or 6 different approaches on what this, who this guy is. And then for you, you can pick. I think he seems like in scripture would be like this or this kind of guy or this kind of guy. But it doesn't mean you're right. And it doesn't mean the other person's wrong. What it means is that you're studying it, you take the information the best you can, and you make the best ascertained evaluation you can, and that's it. And then you be nice. So if somebody says to you, well, Sheshbazzar, he was the junior senator, or Sheshbazzar, he was the senior governor, or Sheshbazzar, he was the guy that built Pinocchio, it doesn't matter. The Bible does not give you enough information, and there's not enough historical information to know absolutely. Why I do that is so that you and I can learn to get along with one another when we don't always see the same conclusions in Scripture. This has a lot to do, and I'm really gearing this up for this, for eschatology. There are different conclusions. That doesn't mean the people that see something different from you are bad. And that doesn't mean you're bad. It just means that when the scripture has some room in it, some people land on different sides of the process. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's your brother. That's your sister in the Lord. Anybody who's even heard the word Sheshbazzar before has got to be like going, yeah, I was wondering about that guy. Who was that guy? It's like, here's my answer. I don't know. It's some dude who's leading somewhere. I mean, he was important because he was mentioned, but we don't get all the information. He was important enough for them to give all the gold to and the silver to, and he had to turn it over to the priests. Fantastic. But to speak with absolute assurity about those kind of things is dangerous because it's prideful. And that's what you don't want to be doing in Scripture. It's one thing to warn people about things in the Scripture. It's another thing to be prideful about your positions. You should be – I don't want to say it this way. You should be ever growing in the Lord and ever knowing that some things are just absolutely clear as a bell and some things aren't. And that's the way it is. In other words, when the scripture says in the marriage at Cana of Galilee, it was 20 or 30 gallons each jug. Guess what the scripture is telling you? It's 20 or 30 gallons. I don't know. 25? I don't know. 28? I don't know. 21? I don't know. Well, typically the priest would use 21.235 gallons. Come on. It's between 20 and 30. That's what it says. Leave it alone. Sometimes you just, that's good enough. Okay? Do that so you get along with one another. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody – look, I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. I just –
when you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers, good believers, great believers, fantastic believers, lousy believers, and everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. That doesn't. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, where I forgot to give you the trivia question at the end of the last segment. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. How's that? That was a good way to kind of bring that up. The answer, by the way, I gave you the answer was buzz, because the answer was Uz. The answer was in Job 1:1. Uz. So, you know, is it ooze or uz? I don't care. Does it matter? Ooze. Uz. You say tomato, I say tomato. You know, okay. All right. That was that trivia question. Boy, I blew that one pretty good. So let me give you this next trivia one, and let's see if I can remember this one. What was the name of Elisha's, not Elijah's, but Elisha's servant? What was the name of Elisha's servant? That answer is in 2 Kings 4, Elisha's servant. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. That is for the current trivia question. Okay, I'm going to do a Hebrew word. It's one that you guys will know, but it'll give you a little bit more clarity on it, so let's do the Hebrew sound for that. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, all right, here's the verse, Exodus chapter 16, verse 30. So the people rested on the seventh day. The word is rested, Shabbat. Shabbat, or Shabbat, depending on which dialect you want to use. It means to stop, to rest, to cease, to end. This verb is of great importance in the Old Testament, mainly because of the noun that it is formed from it. Shabbat, or as we say, Sabbath, or Sabbat, is the day where all work ceases and Israel rests and meditates on the glories of God's creation, heaven and earth, just as God rested on that first Sabbath on Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Okay?
Shabbat.
Rested, to cease, stop working. Take a break. That might be, we would get it as take a break. You know what I'm saying? Like if you were to say, you know, if you're taking a break, we're taking a personal day. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It's like take a break. Stop. Just stop doing what you're doing. Take a break. Take a deep breath. Relax. You know, it's fine. Okay. Rest. Okay. Don't forget God didn't rest because he was tired. Okay. That's just important to remember. All right, last on the trivia, and then I'll have T flag me down so I don't have to wait all the way till tomorrow. What was the name of Elisha's servant? And the answer to that, for those who need to look it up, is 2 Kings chapter 4. What was his name? If you think you know, you can call it in, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. We're going to do a huge skip huge skip in Ezra, because what takes place pretty much after this is there's all these names that are listed. But before we get to that skip, I want to read you something out of Ezra, and this is in chapter 2. So we kind of just went through verse 11, and then there's a whole list of names, and there's about 50,000 people represented. So it's a list. If you want to look at that list, do that. This show doesn't give us enough time to really do that kind of thing. But this is an interesting portion that came out of it, and I want to make sure that we discuss that. Here's what it says. This is in chapter 2, verse 59. Another group returned to Jerusalem, and this time from the towns of Tel Mele and Tel Hashka. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel. This group consisted of the families of Deliah, Tobiah, Nekodiah, a total of about 652 people. Then goes to this next. Three families of priests, Hobiah, Hakaz, and Barzillai, also returned to Jerusalem. Barzillai had married a woman and had taken her family name, but they lost their genealogy records. So they were not allowed to serve as priests. The governor would not even let them eat the priest's share of the food from the sacrifices until there was a priest who consult the Lord about the manner by means of sacred lots. What I want to point out about this that's really important is when Israel was being reestablished at this time, people were coming back. Jerusalem was being reestablished. They were putting everything back together. Some people came and said, we're from this group, we're from this group. But to be a priest, you had to be able to show it. You couldn't just claim it. Now, you'd think that that's a small or a minor detail, but it is far from a small or minor detail. In fact, when you get into 1 Kings and you get into 2 Kings, or you go into the Chronicles, you find out that one of the biggest sins Israel committed is that when they split as a nation for 2 tribes and 10 tribes, the 10 tribe, the northern kingdom, allowed anybody to be a priest at all. And the problem with that is that God forbid that. That was not acceptable. And so when these people came back, they were like, well, we know we're priests. We just don't have no connection. And they were like, well, we can't just put you in the priesthood until we have some verification. The point of that is that God takes very serious people who go into that position. And we've got people in our country, because our country is situated the way it is, that we've got all kinds of people that don't even believe in God who function in priesthood. And it's like, that's crazy. Why would you represent God if you don't even believe in God? And so what the country has done is made a big mistake. It's a grave mistake for our country to force groups to allow anybody to be the priests and leaders, because God, biblically, that is not okay. What they did in order to get a solution, instead of just leaving everybody hanging, which would not be cool, is they waited until they can get a priest. The governor would not even let the priest share the food until there was a priest who could consult the Lord about the matter. And that's the issue. The issue is there are times where you need to have somebody who's in a position of counsel and authority to consult with. Now, let me say something to all of you about guidance and direction and understand this. This was a big issue, social issue of their time. One of the smartest things that you can do when you're stuck and you've gone through your normal channels and you've prayed and you've read your Bible and you've tried to follow the Lord and even fasted, which fasting is important too, and you're just not getting it, is to talk to somebody, a soundboard, a person that you can talk to about an issue that you can have confidence that they can hold your sharing confidently and get their insight. Sometimes we need to consult somebody who's well-seasoned and deep in, committed to the Lord, to get good direction and counsel and answer. In the multitude of counsels, there is wisdom, the Bible says. And sometimes that counselor needs to be something maybe a little bit more with a biblical base. It's a great value to go and be able to share what you can't seem to figure out. I have gone and done this 1,000 times. I counsel with all of my professors. Why? Well, because they're smarter than me. And because there's a lot of people that have good advice. And there's friends that have good advice. And there's people who are in the Lord with good advice. We ought to do that.
You got to talk to people when you can't quite get the answer you're looking for. And it's a good thing and not a bad thing. And so when you're in a situation and you need to get it, there's times where you need specific counsel for specific issues. I encourage you to do that. If you go into a church or if you know somebody who's deep in the Lord, you know, just say, hey, I just need this to be in confidence. I need to share this with you. And then if you're that person who's being asked, hold that confidence. That's your responsibility. And get that input from other people. It's amazing how much wisdom is in one another that we don't access. I think that people in almost every realm that I've been in, there's so much more wisdom than I possess, I gain when I ask. And so they, in this situation, they couldn't let people just be priests. So they said, we need somebody seasoned as a priest to come in and pursue the Lord on our behalf to figure out what we're going to do. And that's normal. That's okay. It's okay for us to say, I need help with this. This is beyond me. Many times I've talked to friends. I've talked to Pastor Ray. I mean, numerous times saying, I'm not sure about this or I don't know about this. He's a man steeped in the Lord. Gives me good counsel. Sometimes he tells me just to be quiet. I don't like that when he tells me that. But it's good counsel. My point in telling you that is until there was a priest who could consult the Lord about it, they didn't do anything about it. And it's like, right, sometimes you need to get the wisdom of those that are just wiser, right? All right. Trivia, right? I got to get that right this time. All right. The question that was on the board was, what's the name of Elisha's servant? That's out of 2 Kings 4:25. Gehazi. Gehazi is the guy. All right. Now, I know that normally when we do expository, it goes a little different, like it did in Ephesians and in Philippians. But like I told you, this is a narrative, so we're going to have to teach it a little bit differently. I just didn't want to spend 20 minutes going over the names. I encourage you to read Ezra 1 and 2 as we are going to pick it up back up at the end of Ezra 2, which is some fascinating applicable material, and I think it'll be a blessing for you. And if not, then just pretend it is, and it'll make me feel better. Okay. Outside of that, I want to make sure you guys know we'll be doing Acts on Thursday. Probably be doing Matthew some tomorrow. And if there's anything else that you guys need prayer for or you have a prayer request or whatever, don't hesitate to go to hemustincrease.org. On there is a form that you can fill out. Nobody gets the information. I'm the only one that sees it. And then you can say whether you want that prayer request to be public or private. It's entirely up to you. So please keep Michelle, who had asked us for prayer, please keep her in prayer for her situation that she can find normal returning to her life, and keep everybody else in prayer as well. Love you guys. A lot of confidence in your diligence and faithfulness and in your connection to the Lord. You're a great blessing for me, and I appreciate it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.